thanks for downloading the audio podcast of this week's sermon. We pray you'll be blessed and encouraged with the words you hear.
It's always a pleasure again to bring God's word. I'm always mindful when we get into church and we get into worship and we're worshiping the living God, the Holy One of Israel, and praising Him and thanking Him, because deep down we know He has made the way. He is the one that's changed our life. He is the one that never leaves us, He'll never forsake us. He's the one that's the same yesterday, today, and forever. JT preached this morning about being in the gap and standing in the gap. And tonight, for a few moments, I want to share with you my presentation of Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, who He is, how we can find out who He is, what He's done, what He's going to do, and what He's capable of doing today while we live, and ask Him to heal the sick, answer prayer, and save the lost. Very mindful from a young age, the scripture was always something that was brought to me from a wee boy. I understand conviction of sin. I understand that there was a way better than the way I was living my life. And I'm no different from anybody in this church tonight. I know what it was like to get to that crossroads, that place where I come to Jesus or would I turn away again. And I thank God that He allowed me the grace and the mercy to call upon His name for salvation, and showing me and staying with me that salvation is a real thing. Being healthy and having a good life is a wonderful gift from God. Having your health to get up in the morning and go to your work, or do whatever you need to do when your feet touch the floor when you get out of bed, good health is a wonderful gift from God. But if you got word on the phone or a news from a doctor to tell you, haven't good news for you today. You've got to go through major surgery. But we have found the best surgeon and the best church, or sorry, the best hospital. Would you go and see him for a visit before you get in? And I'm sure we all, if we needed major surgery to save our life, you'd want the best surgeon performing it, that we come out the other side well and healthy. Us, we have a sinful condition that we were born with that separated us from the living God because of sin. And that sinful condition will keep you and me from ever going to heaven if we don't sort it out. We've been singing them about the night. We've been singing about Jesus, Savior of the world. He is the way. He is the one person that can change your life. And the gospel tonight, it's good news. It's good news for any person that's never heard the gospel before, because the God loves us with unconditional love. The sin happened, the sin took place. But He didn't leave us there. He may have, could have. But He says, I have a rescue plan put in place. And this rescue plan was done by Jesus Christ. In our Bible, from Genesis to Revelations, and we will be going there throughout tonight. I'll throw the handbrake on sometimes and I will stop and I will read some verses. But in Genesis, we read where the sin was committed. God told Adam and Eve, have free run of everything. Everything's good. Take what you want. Only don't go here. don't eat of this tree. That was fair enough. If you had a big garden sitting at home, and if you were a child, this is the way it works. Don't you be climbing that tree, don't go up that tree, don't touch that tree. But the old nature say, can't be that bad. You may have climbed it, never told your parents you'd been up the tree. This is where it was with Adam and Eve. The devil, he come and he says to him, it's not that bad. He didn't say just not eat it. Wee bite will do no harm. But they did. On that garden, that day, us, the Adamic race which we were born into, when Adam sinned, he passed that DNA on to every person that came into the world. Born into this world, you're automatically separated from God because of your sinful nature. God come in the garden, he knew the sin was committed. But Adam went into hiding. Adam walked with God, seen all the animals and named them and done all the things, but now the sin was committed. Separation had taken place. Adam knew it. But God in his love and his mercy embraced him. He says, Adam, you know, I love you. But because you committed this sin, you're out of the garden now. Things is no longer the way it was before. And what he done is, you read in Genesis 3, he got an animal and he shed the blood of the animal and he clothed it to cover their nakedness. And this was the great picture in Genesis of a greater blood that was going to be shed in years to come, that was going to cover and rescue the whole world of sinners by the shedding of Jesus' blood. Adam lost his position. He lost everything in the garden that God had given to him because he was disobedient. That same sin today has still been carried out. People are hearing the gospel. They've been preached it. They hear it and they see it. And there's still this element of disobedience. Not today. But the great lie of the devil himself is, not today, but maybe tomorrow. And gives them a get-out clause. The Word of God says, today is the accepted time for salvation. You don't know how long you're going to get, neither do I. When we read through the Bible and the Old Testament, the prophets prophesied about this Jesus that was going to come into the world. And it'd be looked just to see, because I was curious just how many times the prophetic word or the prophets had said how many times Jesus would come into the world as a saviour. And it was between 250 and 300, and I went, well, it really doesn't matter. They got to a point where they prophesied that Jesus Christ would come into this world as the Messiah. Isaiah 7:14 makes it very clean, and it happened, he would be born of a virgin. Micah 5 says he would be born in Bethlehem. And 2 Samuel 7 tells us that he would be from the lineage of David. All these promises fulfilled when Jesus Christ was born into this world. Isaiah 9 verse 6 says it so well, and we hear this verse of scripture read at Christmas. For unto us a child is born, for unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. He did come. Tonight I want to tell you about who this person is, Jesus Christ, my Savior, your Savior, if you're a believer tonight. When we get to Luke chapter 2, Another Christmas verse that we read, but so important in the gospel message. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which you shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord, and this shall be a sign unto you. And ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward men." I like the humbleness of God sometimes. He could have went to the city and he could have lit up the whole city and had all the angels praising God, but no. Few shepherds watching sheep. And they looked up. Wow. Angels praising and singing praises, because here he was, Jesus Christ himself is now about to be born in earth. We don't hear much about Jesus during his young life, but he was walking down the road one day, and John the Baptist, you'll get it in Matthew, get it in John's Gospel, verse 1, chapter 1, 29, 36. John sees Jesus walking, and he looks out and he says, "Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." John the Baptist recognized him. He says, "Behold him. There he is, Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God." Who is this Jesus? Philippians 2, 5, 11 puts it quite plain like this. "Let this be mind in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and the things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father." See, when Jesus came into the world, people were looking for a Messiah. They were. And Jesus came and declared who he was. They still would not accept who he was. And when you're in John's Gospel, chapter 1, nice wee phrase. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was nothing that was made. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, and the glory of the only begotten of the Father was full of grace." Jesus himself, he had to leave heaven to get here. Jesus was with the Father from the beginning of time. He saw the sun and the moon and the stars hung into outer space. That's lovely, God, like that. Saw the trees being planted. Thing called grass, thing called vegetables, fruit. Saw the rivers created, the oceans. Was with God when all this took place. He witnessed all the wars in the Old Testament where God's people wouldn't obey him and rebelled and watched them getting destroyed and killed. Jesus was there. He witnessed it all. He saw it all. But there was a day coming. God said, you've got to go, son. It's time to go. They've made a big enough mess of it. You have to get into the earth. And this man, Jesus Christ, God incarnated, came in to this world. If you want a description of Jesus Christ, who he is, you can go to 1 Timothy 3:16. It says, without controversy, great was the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, seen of angels, preached unto Gentiles, and received up again to glory. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, yet the Son of Man. When Jesus started his ministry, he had a different kind of teaching that nobody ever seen before. He healed the sick. He laid hands on people and brought them back to life. Things that was never seen. But Jesus Christ was the God-man, showing the power that who he was. One of the things that strikes me sometimes when I'm reading my Bible. Remember Jesus rubbed the dirt with his finger, spat on the ground, rubbed it into two boys. Remember, rubbed it into two eyes. You'd think that would do nothing but do harm. This guy began to see because he was touched by the power of the living God. Mary and Martha, they sent for Jesus. Brother Lazarus had died. Jesus knew who Lazarus was. It took him 4 days, I think, to get there from the time he was asked. And think about Jesus standing outside this sepulchre and going, Lazarus, come forth. And people were standing. And here was Lazarus coming to the door of the sepulchre, moving inside grave clothes, because Jesus had the power to raise him back to life. This is the Jesus I'm here to tell you about tonight. This Jesus done so many miracles that I'll tell you that the word of God doesn't even capture half of them. When we get to Mark chapter 1, there's a declaration from the Father himself. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. God declared this many times in Scripture. Jesus was in a conversation with the disciples one day. Who does people say I am? Just wanted to know what the take was on it. Who does people say I am? Ah, oh, some say you're Elijah, and some say you're John the Baptist. And Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And you can see Jesus looking around and went, flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. Peter saw who the Son was. During Jesus' preaching, Jesus said, I and the Father are one. Such a statement would be blasphemous if it were not true. By placing himself on equal footing with God, Jesus revealed a profound truth that echoes throughout the Gospels. He's not merely a teacher, but he's God's Son incarnate. And when Jesus came to the earth, people couldn't accept it. There's still amazing things that happen in Scripture. The transfiguration. Peter, James, and John, Elijah, and Moses, all together, high and lifted up. And God says to him, "This is my beloved son. Listen to him." Confirmation from God himself. Two prophets who knew about the future son would come in the Old Testament. And when Jesus started his ministry, he commonly says, "I come not to call the righteous but sinners to repentance." I've come. One day I'm going to have to leave this earth, but first of all, I'm going to have to lay down my life to save the world. John 6:44 reads like this: "No man can come to me except the Father which can draw him, and I will raise him up in the last day." Jesus preached the message, told his disciples, Mark had said it tonight. Jesus told the disciples, "One day I'm going to have to leave here, get out of here. Where are you going? And how can we follow you? And what's the way?" And Jesus said, "I am the way. And I am the truth. And I'm the life. No man can come to the Father except through me." Yet Jesus done all these miracles and preached the word. Yet those who were in power in those days didn't believe him. They didn't accept what he had to say. They didn't believe he was the Messiah, chose from a mighty God. And the word says he came unto his own, and his own received him not. All he did was good. He come and healed the sick, delivered people from situations that they couldn't do themselves. Yet they took this man, Jesus, to a place called Golgotha. They crucified him between two thieves. One of the lowest forms of death at that time. They crucified him. And yet people cheered and mocked, thought they had done something that Jesus deserved. Jesus looks up while he's on the cross and he cries out, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they've done." He pierced his side and he shed the blood that made us worthy of coming and getting our sins cleansed. And he cries out on the cross, "It's finished. I've done the job." But I want to remind you, church, that 3 days later, Jesus himself defeated death, he defeated the grave, and he lives now in the power of an endless life. And because he lives in the power of an endless life, so can you and me when we call upon his name for salvation. The veil in the temple was torn in two. I always wondered about this one because I read and I ask myself questions. Imagine being in the temple when the veil rent in two when you're inside it. What happened? The veil in the temple was rent in two. Not only that happened, people in their graves got out of their graves and walked down the street and into the towns and they showed themselves. Scripture, I'll tell you all about it. And next one, when Jesus was heading his way back to heaven, you'll get that next one, verse 9, 10, 11, somewhere in there. The angels looked at them and said, "This same Jesus that you see going into heaven is going to come again in like manner." This is not the end. He is coming back. Hallelujah. Where is Jesus today? Mark 16 will tell you he's sitting at the right hand of God making intercession for us. Jesus sees what's happening. As JT mentioned this morning, praying the gap. We heard the other morning about the prayer bowls. and the prayer bowls in heaven tipping. But we've got to keep filling the prayer bowls up and have a hunger for the lost. Jesus is there making intercession for us. And I'll ask you tonight, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Saviour, Hebrews 2 verse 3 says it like this: how shall we escape if neglect so great of salvation? If you have a heartbeat going tonight, I want to let you know one day that heartbeat's going to stop. And you will be judged on how you live, and you will be judged, did you accept Jesus or did you reject Jesus? Can't have it both ways. I can't sugarcoat the gospel. Escape from where? From a bad day or something that's just going to not last very long. But I'm here to tell you today, eternal punishment is not a good thing. That's why Jesus Christ come into this world, to save us from a place called hell. That's why he come. He come to deliver us from eternal punishment. If you and I remove the bad news of hell and gut out the significance of the good news of heaven, it doesn't mean anything then. Jesus come to deliver us from a place called hell. He says it plainly. Fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. That's not my words. That's the word of God. Hell serves a sober reminder that our choices matter. Choose well tonight. Choose Jesus as your Saviour. When I was a Sunday school teacher, nice simple teaching for children, we used to say, one way, one name, Jesus. It's always easy that children would know there was one way and there was one name. We used to walk into the Sunday school room and we had a light switch and the room was always dark and it was always a debate who was going to put this light switch on. Touch the light switch so the lights would come on the room. Who done it last week? For I couldn't remember. She done it, they done it last week. And I says, right, who wants to put the light switch on? We used to walk over and touch the light switch. And I used to stop them before they says, do you know what you're going to do? Oh, I'm going to put on the light. I says, do you believe that the light will come on when you touch the light switch? Oh, why? I says, that's how faith works. Believe it before you see it. Simple teaching that children can grasp the simplicity of the gospel, that Jesus said, there's nothing you have to do. I'm the way. One name, one way. Jesus Christ, Son of the living God. You could be sitting in a church service and maybe have sat in many a church service in your time. But I'm here to explain to you that the conviction of sin is a very real thing. Before any of us come to saving faith in Jesus Christ, we experienced conviction of sin. We experienced the power of the Holy Spirit speaking to us, dealing with us, and saying, look, I need to get this right. And the word of God has a lot to say about it. Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. That's how the gospel works. God said, see, when my word goes out, it'll not return void. But when it's spoken out, it will accomplish that which it can. Jesus Christ, Son of the living God. I'll ask you tonight, and I spoke on it earlier, Could you be at the crossroads of decision and you need to come and call upon the name of Jesus for your salvation? I know what that feeling's like. I know what it's like to walk away from a church service and in a roundabout way pray, God, keep me alive to get to the next one, because I feared God. I feared that if something would have happened and I didn't make the decision, I would be lost. But I thank him for the time and the day where he allowed me. In simple faith, Stephen Elder, before the living God, I surrender. I'm handing my life over to you. Salvation is not in what I do. I can't earn this salvation, but what I'm doing is I'm pushing it all onto you, God. I'm trusted in you. That's what your word says. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And I thank God for the time that I come and called upon the name of Jesus for salvation. I'm like you many other times. You're at school and your workmates and you're chatting about salvation. And all this thing always comes up. So that Jesus has been away 2,000 odd years and he's been preaching the same gospel for 2,000 odd years. See no change. I'm here to tell you tonight, 2,000 years in God's times, 2 days. The word of God said, as simple as this here, Psalm 90, verse 4, for 1,000 years on thy sight is but as yesterday. As yesterday, 1,000 years. I love opening that psalm sometimes because they'll say 2,000 years in our time is correct, but we're in God's time. We're in him. 2 Peter 3, verse 8, but beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day with the Lord as 1,000 years. One day with God's timing. It's only away 2 days. We'll see what it's like when it's 3 days in his time. I'm here to tell you tonight, God is so good. He is so good, but we were on a one-way ticket to a Christless eternity. Every one of us. But God in his mercy revealed the gospel to us, either through a friend, through a family friend, through a church, through a Sunday school. You know where it happened in your lifetime. This is why we're doing church on a Sunday night in Ballybunny Elam. Saved people. To see people coming to saving faith in Jesus Christ. One of my favourite verses in the Bible is Colossians 1, 13 and 14. You'll hear me praying it many a time. Verse 12 says, giving thanks unto the Father who delivered us from the power of darkness. And he translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of our sins. Saved person, this is what's happened to you and me when we come to saving faith. Number one, God himself delivered us. I like that. From the power of darkness. That power that had eminence over us and was ruling us. Then he translated us in to the kingdom of his dear Son. That means we're now going a different direction than what we were going before. He's translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, who redeemed us. That means that's eternally secure. Through his blood, even forgiven us our sins. We're thankful to God tonight. The word of God declares it. In Thessalonians chapter 4, the Word of God says that one day there's going to be a trumpet sound. I don't know how far away that day is, but I know the Word of God tells me that one day this trumpet will sound. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. That's those that are living on earth right now. And the believers that is living will be caught up together with them in the air. Jesus Christ is coming back to earth soon to do the finished business that he said he would do. I believe it. You switch on your TV tomorrow, lift the newspaper, doom, gloom, bad news, worst news, from people that should know better, I may add. But all you read is doom and gloom. I'm here tonight to share good news. That Jesus Christ makes a difference. Jesus Christ will give you a reason for living if you don't know him. He will give you a reason to get up in the morning. We just thank God for what this person, Jesus Christ, has done. Let me ask you again tonight. Are you at the crossroads? Decision. Is it walk away again, night? I've heard it so many times now, and what happens is it gets easier to listen to. My prayer tonight is that the power of the Holy Spirit will stop you in your tracks and you'll call upon the name of Jesus tonight.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like any more information, have a look at our website at www.ballymoneyelam.com.